Mr. IQ Al Razzouli, a man I've got a tremendous amount of respect for. It's where he's at locations that location I will not disclose, of course. It's early in the morning, late at night, depending on, well, it's in the middle of the night, let's just say that. He's making a sacrifice, sacrificing his time to be on this program, telling the truth about what is taking place all across the world with the, now these are my words, the plague of Islam. Now you might think that's rather harsh. I believe, and I think IQ would likely agree with me that Islam, to me, when I look at that, this is not a religious, or it's not a religion, it is a political ideology disguised as a religion, or presented as a religion rather erroneously. Now that's just, those are my words, and I'm absolutely willing to be corrected by Mr. IQ Al Razzouli, but it's such a great pleasure to have with us a man of his scholarly acumen about the topic that threatens the very way of life that you and I live, and threatens all of the West. And I've got to tell you, when I look at the problems, and I see Islam being weaponized, I see that Islam has been weaponized. It's ripe for weaponization, but it's nonetheless, it's inherently a weapon in and of itself, but it's being also weaponized by the globalists as well to unleash upon the Christians and all non-Muslims. But having said that, IQ, welcome back. Am I correct in that description, sir, or is that a misstatement or overstatement?
The only thing you were incorrect was you called it a religion. Islam is a cult belief system. Let me explain to the listeners. A religion is when you believe in a god, a deity. Cultism is when you follow and emulate a human being. Every single Muslim must follow the Sunnah of Muhammad, because according to the Quran, Muhammad was the most perfect male ever created, superior to Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. So, by definition, the fact that they must follow what Muhammad believed in, what Muhammad did, how Muhammad lived, how he cleaned his genitals, this is cultism. It has nothing to do with anything else. Cultism, disguised as a belief system, as a religion. Correct, it's political, it's economic, but it is still cultism. They followed what Muhammad did 1400 years ago. ISIS is a throwback. ISIS is throwback to Muhammad's 8th century Arabia. That's exactly what they want the whole world to be in. 8th century Arabia. That's why they prohibit. Nowhere in the Quran is there any prohibition of dancing, of music, of having sex with a woman who's not married. All these things are not in the Quran. In the Sunnah, in the Hadith. So all these things that they are not doing, all these prohibitions were prohibited outside the Quran by Muhammad. That's why I said it's a cult belief system. Okay, it's political. That's nothing. It doesn't change the fact it's a cult. Otherwise, 100%. As I said before, every single Muslim, by definition, is the mortal and eternal enemy of every human being on the planet who is not a Muslim. Back to you, sir.
Thank you for that. And you're exactly right. And words mean things, and when we use these descriptions, I think it's important to be accurate, and thank you for that clarification and that correction. You had mentioned about President Trump's statement delivery to the United Nations, and I found it refreshing myself. What do you think now, in general? And I've been, when I heard you were coming on the show, I had so many questions to ask you about your thoughts about the United States posturing, for example, the troop deployment in Afghanistan. our policy of military strategy as it is right now moving forward into that country. Do you agree with, are we fighting, terrorism is a tactic, it's not a target. Are we fighting the enemy properly? And I know you mentioned about we don't have to, you know, occupy. We can destroy without occupation. But if you were running the show, IQ, how would you handle Afghanistan? How would you handle the situation that America finds itself in?
Okay. First of all, I would not allow my soldiers, if I were an American president, I would not allow my soldiers to die uselessly against Islam. I would remove them from Afghanistan. Let me explain to you as bluntly and as clearly as possible. I would like our listeners to know this. I would like to make it crystal clear to our audience that I am unabashedly and very proudly politically incorrect. Because you will find out that I only tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And to prove that my statements are unchallengeable, I have had and still have for the last 12 years over $1.5 million worth of challenges to anyone listening or reading my article to prove anything I reveal as either false or misleading. So what I'm getting at is, Islam is the enemy. Muslims are the enemy. No matter how outrageous this statement is, ask a Muslim, ask your moderate, friendly Muslim a simple question. According to your belief system, I am not a Muslim. According to your belief system, what am I called? If your nice, lovely neighbor Muslim is decent and truthful, he will tell you you are called a kafir, an infidel. But what is the destiny of a kafir under Islam? Shockingly and simply, under Islam, non-Muslims have got two choices, two. Either submit to Sharia or to be exterminated. So tell me, this nice Muslim, how is he so nice? Just because he just doesn't kill you? Just because he's not cutting your throat? Afghanistan is an Islamic society. The British lost there. The Russians lost. And you are losing. Who are you fighting? A lot of Americans have died. You know that, and I know that, and unfortunately not many Americans know that. Although the Americans are dying in there. They were killed by Afghani soldiers. They called it green on blue or green on something else. I don't give a damn. As far as I'm concerned, the life of every single American in Afghanistan is equal to at least 10,000 Taliban, anytime. Sounds outrageous? No. An American life is worthy more than 10,000 Taliban. Why? Because Taliban are useless. They're mass murderers. They are throwback to the 8th century of Muhammad's Arabia. It sounds outrageous. I know. I don't care. Don't fight in Afghanistan. Don't send your troops in Syria and in Iraq. They are killing each other. And what are you going to do? At the moment, as you said earlier, America supports one group against another group, then another group, then third group. But each one of these groups is Islamic. It doesn't matter whether they're Shia. It doesn't matter if they're Sunnis. Although they hate each other, dear Americans, both of them hate you who are not Muslims. Both of them. So who are you supporting? Tell me, please. Who are you supporting? I want to know. As I said... Sorry, yeah, but it's a simple question. I always simple questions. Donald Trump, he is in a very difficult situation. No leader in the whole of Europe, except the blonde-haired Geert Wilders in the Netherlands, who addresses the subject of Islam in a realistic manner. He says, ban the Quran. The Quran is not a holy book. The Quran is not a holy book. It's the most disgusting scripture ever recorded by human in the human history. The most disgusting. It's hate-mongering, war-mongering, misogynist, racist, duplicitous, hypocritical, intolerant, vile, and it's totally ungodly. And $200,000 says, no one listening can prove me wrong. That's another, so I already have $600,000 with you.
Yeah.
And the reason I say these, it's not to boast, it's to prove a point that I cannot be defeated in a debate. No human being on planet Earth and no intelligent life outside the solar system discussing the subject of Islam can defeat me in a debate. Again, I said to you, I'm politically incorrect. All I want from anybody listening who thinks I'm bombastic, I'm exaggerating, okay, if I am a hot air balloon, pinprick it, bring it crashing down to earth. I dare you. CARE is listening. CARE knows about me. They know a lot about me. But they never come against me. Linda Sarsour, I sent her email, I wrote articles about her. She is the darling of the left wing in Europe, in New York, especially de Blasio, another jerk. He knows about Islam as much as a pig knows about hygiene. And I'm insulting the pig in this case. So what do we have? You've got to face reality once and for all. In churches and in synagogues, the priest and the rabbi, they do not incite the Jews and the Christians to hate anybody who's not a Jew or a Christian. But every imam in every mosque every Friday has to recite verses from the Quran that incite the people listening to him to hate the very people they live amongst, if they are in Europe, in France, in Germany, in England, or in America. They hate you. Why? Because they have no choice in the matter. This is exactly what the Quran teaches them. So what do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to do? They have no choice. I know it's difficult to absorb, but it is a fact. They have no choice in the matter. And that's the tragedy. The tragedy for us and the tragedy for them. They have no choice. And to prove a point again, chapter 5, verse 51. The chapter is called Al-Ma'idah, a table by the way. And the Quran says, O ye who believe, Muslims, take not the Jews, Yahud, and the Christians, Nasara, for your friends and protectors. They are but friends and protectors to each other. And he amongst you, Muslims, that turns to them for friendship is of them. Again, I repeat, these verses to make an impression, to make it so important they understand it is not me who is against Islam. I'm not against Islam, I'm revealing what Islam is all about. The implications of the last sentence is of immense importance. Now I repeat it again. And he amongst you Muslims that turns to them, Jews and Christians or non-Muslims, is of the means that any followers of Muhammad who befriend or are under the rule of Christians or Jews or any non-Muslim group would be considered apostates to Islam, enemies of Islam, outsiders to Islam who must be slaughtered. In a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, no Muslim in the USA or any non-Muslim country can ever be loyal to the American Constitution or any other constitution because it is not man, it is man-made, not from Allah Sharia. Nor can any Muslim in the USA or any non-Muslim country be a loyal citizen. Because, for example, in America, non-Muslim Americans are called infidels, kuffar, unbelievers, kafirun, to be either subjugated to Sharia or exterminated. Again, I'm not saying that. Muhammad's Quran says that. Now, how are you Americans going to do to deal with it? It's your choice. But don't tell me about tolerance. Tolerating the intolerant is self-destructive. No Christian, no Jew can be in Saudi Arabia or any Muslim state with a Bible. Yet they are allowed to come to Europe and America with their Quran. No Christian, no Jew, no anybody else can proselytize in any Muslim country because they will kill them instantly. Yet they come to every country outside Dar al-Islam, the territory of the Muslims, and they proselytize and we allow them. And you call that tolerance? Yes, I understand tolerance, but I don't understand stupidity. I don't understand self-immolation. I don't understand self-destruction. This is self-destruction. Disguised as tolerance. You cannot and must not ever tolerate the intolerant. And Islam is totally intolerant.
Amen, brother. You have said what we have been saying, and we learned it from you. And I remember being, you know, on with you years ago on the Roth show with Lori Roth, and talking this, you know, in hearing you for the first time, I believe it was on that platform. And right. you were saying that very same issue or the same thing. Now I've got a that was what, 10 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
That's you've been around. Now I've got a question for you, Q, and I know you can address this directly. What we're seeing, what I've seen, what I've learned, I should say, and researched myself since the events of 9/11, the outreach by Christians to Muslims has been mind-boggling. But here's a fact that I've seen. Maybe you can translate what's happening that I've witnessed. And I'll just give you one example. In Buffalo, New York, and I've got the documentation, probably the papers would amount to the size of a Manhattan phone book. Property records, deed transfers, titles transfers and everything. Here's what I witnessed and researched and verified and for example, in Buffalo, New York. The Christian, you'll find a Catholic or Christian church sell their property to Muslims. A Muslim organization, a group, or perhaps an individual imam, they in turn will buy that church, convert it into a mosque, and consider that there's some sort of celebration or celebratory issue with that. And in addition, what they do is once they have that church, they begin buying property up around that mosque, formerly a church, under various names such as the ISNA or MSA or it depends on which, you know, it depends. What's happening with that? Can you explain that process? And they seem to relish in taking over, converting churches to mosques. And I know that question sounds simple, but I think there's something much deeper to that.
Of course. They are planting Sharia, and you're allowing it. There is no chance in hell or heaven that any mosque will teach tolerance. They don't exist. You know, I have, sometimes Christians or Jews, and they usually are really unlearned either in Christianity or in the Hebrew Bible, who say, yes! The Christian will say, yes, but we attacked them in Crusaders. Or the Jews will say, yes, but they are in the Bible, horrible acts of violence. Yeah, okay. So I tell these stupid people the following. I tell the Jew, $200,000, show me a single verse in the Bible inciting the followers of Moses to slaughter, rape, murder, plunder, and occupy other people. I have silence. Then I turn to the Christian. You're stupid. And I say that because I don't cover anything. I mean, I'm politically incorrect. I tell you, you're stupid. The Crusades were the result of 300 years of Muslim jihad, who were raping, enslaving, and selling Christians who visited the Holy Land. So why are you complaining? You see, ignorance today, as far as I'm concerned, is not an acceptable excuse. Because at the click of a mouse, you have maybe 20 billion pages of information. Never in history of humanity can any single human being reach so much information with so little effort. So, as far as I'm concerned, the people who do not know the subject are either willingly stupid or stupid. Can't be anything else. Because the elephant is filling the room. We watch, since 9/11, I have never had a single day or watched a single program without Muslims killing somebody somewhere or doing something wrong. Since 9/11. In the Philippines, Christian country, they want to have their own state. In Myanmar, which is it used to be Burma, they're killing Hindus and Buddhists, and they want to have their own state. By the way, in the Philippines, there are Filipinos who were converted to Islam. The one in Burma were Buddhists who were converted to Islam. When I say converted, they were forced into conversion. Nobody with two brain cells of logic, and a bit of decency will convert to Islam. Because Islam is completely and utterly against everything that a human being wants to strive for. There is no happiness in Islam. Khomeini, the leader of Shia Islam, said there is no joy in Islam. I didn't say that. Google it, he said that. And he's right. He said Muslims have to pray 5 times a day, believe only in Allah, and bring Sharia to dominate the whole world. That's it. That's the purpose of every Muslim for the last 1400 years. It's not for them to enjoy life. It is for them to make our life miserable. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what it is. Not for you to... Yes, sir.
If we can switch gears a little bit, I want to make sure that we give this next topic the proper time it deserves. We've had a number of guests on our show, Josh Tolley being one of them, who exposed Catholic charities and other Catholic organizations being paid thousands of dollars per refugee to get them here. But in the larger context, I want to talk about the Vatican's role as one of the chief proponents of the continued Islamic invasion of Europe and its attempted influence of the same in the U.S. Why is the Vatican and the Pope pushing so hard? And basically, he made the comments that, you know, Trump can't be pro-life because of his immigration views. You mentioned earlier that, you know, the even Trump's calls for vetting Muslims coming to this country is racist. But what is the why is the Pope so adamant about seeing this Islamic invasion in the U.S. and especially Europe?
Okay. Pope Francis is more concerned with the plight of Muslims than those of Christians. Not once did he mention the mass slaughter of Coptic Christians on Easter Sunday by Muslims.
Yeah, but he was hundreds died in a bomb.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Hundreds died in a bomb that went widely underreported here in the U.S.
But he was more upset about the butchery of Shia Muslims in Syria by Sunni Muslims. Under Francis' watch, more Christians have been murdered, raped, terrorized, plundered, and dispossessed than under any pope in recent history. And Francis has been definitely quiet all these years, so that he would not offend Muslims. Even more disturbing are his assertions to his followers of 1.2 billion that he could not find any aggressive verses in Muhammad's Quran when any fair-minded human being with two brain cells of logic will find at least 100 of them. How Francis can sleep at night is beyond my comprehension. I understand what Catholicism is. A Catholic must believe in the Trinity, Mary, the Mother of God, and the infallibility of the Pope on doctrinal matters. This Pope is interfering in science, which he doesn't know anything about, and in politics, which he doesn't know anything about. His support of Islam is beyond comprehension and beneath contempt. I really can't figure it out. Why would any Christian, or so-called Christian, support Islam when they are slaughtering his own flock right in front of his eyes? He made approaches with the Imam of Al-Azhar University. Ladies and gentlemen, Al-Azhar University in Cairo is like the Vatican of Islam. No Imam can ever respect Pope Francis. Doesn't matter here. They hug him, they kiss him, they kiss their hand. That is irrelevant. Because according to Islam, Catholicism has the Trinity, which is shirk. Shirk is the most abhorrent item against Islam, from their own theology, their own belief system. Associating Allah with his a son called Jesus is anathema, unacceptable. And yet, Pope Francis thinks by hugging them and being nice to them is rewarding. It's not rewarding. It's self-destructive. I cannot figure it out, by the way. I can't understand it. And you can't understand it. The same reason I can't understand how Angela Merkel, the leader of Germany, would allow 1.5 million so-called refugees to come in. 85% of them are of young men of military age who will never integrate, who will never assimilate. It will cost Europe billions, not millions, billions of euros to try to accommodate them. They have to give them finance because they haven't got any jobs, and it will take them years to learn the language and to integrate, but they will never integrate. In America, you have the Somalis, I think it's Minnesota mostly. Many of them joined ISIS. But they are not the only ones. They cannot integrate. I explained it to you. I gave you the verses of the Quran. They follow the Quran. All of you have got to come to one single conclusion. Whatever is happening all over the world by Muslims, it's determined by one single item. They all read the same book called Quran. So the enemy of humanity, the most despicable, the most deadly virus that has ever infected the human mind is called Quran. You can't beat it. You have to eradicate it. You have to sanctioned. You've got to put it in a sanatorium. When somebody has got an Ebola virus, you put them away. You have to separate them. We cannot have Islam and Europeans. We can't have Muslims and Americans. We cannot have Muslims anywhere outside Dar al-Islam, that means the territory of the Muslims. Because according to Islam, humanity is divided into two parts. Dar al-Islam, the territory of the Muslims, where the majority are Muslims, and Dar al-Harb, the territory of war, which means what? Any country which does not have a majority of Muslims is called Dar al-Harb, the territory of war. That means the Muslims have every right to plunder it, to rape it, to destroy it, to enslave it. This is Islam, you can't change it. And unless and until, as I said, you ban Sharia, and then by automatically you ban Islam, you are not going to win anything. You're going to lose.
That's right.
Not only you. The whole of Europe will lose. The whole of America will lose. The whole of the world will lose.
Yes.
This is a world war. The Chinese are suffering from it. The Russians are suffering from it. The Indians are suffering from it. It's not only Europe. It's not only Christians. It's Buddhists and Hindus also, besides the Jews. This is a world war has been going on for 1400 years when Muhammad in chapter 9 verse 5 declared war on humanity who do not follow him.
That wow. You speak the truth. Our guest is IQ El Razuli, and just for those listening, we skipped the bottom of the hour break for continuity. We'll have to make that up on the back end of the show. So we have you for another 15 minutes, about 15 minutes, IQ. I really want to turn the floor over to you. There's really no question that we could ask that would at this point really be as meaningful as whatever is on your heart, your mind to really push forward in to wrap up the final 15 minutes together that we have. So I'm going to turn it, Joe and I are going to turn it over to you, and whatever is most pressing on your heart, your mind, whatever you would like to see, to tell our audience, whatever it might be, just go ahead and take it. We're going to give you the floor because your information is so prescient, so important, and I hope everyone is listening to this. We've got listeners checking in right now from the UK, from Germany. We've got two checking in from Australia. We've got numerous people from Canada. So you've got basically a worldwide audience. This is the people that were checking in, and then we know that there are many other countries represented, but go ahead and speak your heart, IQ.
It's very important that the people who are listening to this show, I'm not trying to convert you, I'm not trying to force you into believing what I'm saying. All I ask any of you, don't waste your money buying the Quran. Google the Quran. And don't waste your time reading all 114 chapters. That's a waste of time. All you need to do is read chapter 2 to chapter 9. And I promise you, if you come to any conclusion opposite to mine, you really should be put in a mental asylum. I'll give you an example. Al-Qardawi is the leader of the most powerful unit in Sunni Islam. He is the foremost authority on Sunni Islam. In an interview with an Arabic station, the interviewer asked him in Arabic, but of course you got, I speak Arabic anyway, but there were subtitles. The interviewer asked him, why is it mandated in the Quran that if somebody leaves Islam should be slaughtered? Al-Qardawi is, I think, over 80 years old, and he made the biggest mistake of his life. He told the truth, which is unusual in Islam. He said, had it not been mandated in the Quran that anyone, any Muslim who leaves Islam will be slaughtered, there will be no Muslims. I want you to understand what I'm telling you. I want you to digest what I'm telling you. Without the death sentence to anyone who leaves Islam, there would be no Islam. Means Muslims continue to be Muslims because of terror. I want you to understand and absorb the magnitude of this man's revelation. He told the truth. Muhammad said, and it says in Bukhari hadith, in Muslim hadith, in every hadith, Muhammad gloated and boasted and said, Allah made me victorious with terror. Islam is not only about submission. Islam is about submission through terror. How is it possible that there are 1.5 billion Muslims on the face of the planet? It was possible because they forced into conversion hundreds of millions of people. How did they force them? Jizya. What is jizya? Jizya is a penalty, not a tax. It's a penalty imposed upon people who refuse to become Muslims. And invariably, it is an onerous penalty. So, when somebody is being treated with contempt and then made to pay 30-40% of their earnings, yet when they convert to Islam, they pay 2-5% of their earnings. It's a matter of pure logic for survival purposes to convert to Islam. And that's exactly what happened all over the world, all over three continents when they conquered it. Asia, Africa, and in the Middle East, and then in Europe. That's exactly what happened. It's Muhammad in the year 622 when he left and escaped from Mecca to go to Medina. He made Medina the center of the first organized crime syndicate in human history. Islam is an organized crime syndicate. Can I prove it? Well, I don't need to prove it. What does ISIS do? What does Boko Haram do? What do Al-Shabaab do? They terrorize. They plunder. They rape. They enslave. That is exactly what Muhammad used to do. They are emulating. So, no matter how difficult it is to absorb what I'm telling you, and especially Christians and Jews, decent human beings find it extremely difficult to believe that a religion, which they think is a religion, can be so evil. And yet, there is no belief system more disgusting, more horrible, more pathetic than Islam. There is none. And I have been proving this for 30 years. I don't want to prove it. I need you, our listeners, to also research it. And I'm not asking you to do 30 years of research. All I ask you to do is read chapter 2 to chapter 9. Maybe 2.5 hours of your time. But these 2.5 hours will change your life. Some of you who read it will convert to Islam. I know. Sounds ridiculous, but it isn't. People who are a criminal mind will convert to Islam. Why do I say that? The most successful conversions to Islam occur in the prison system in Europe and the prison systems in America. The most successful. Many priests emailed me. Why is it that many of the criminals are converting to Islam and not to Jesus? Well, the answer again is simple. Islam is music to the ear of a criminal. Why do I say it? Islam allows the criminal who is in the criminal justice system, because he raped, murdered, stole, or did something wrong. But Islam allows him to do this, especially against non-Muslims. It is music. It is literally, Islam is music to the ear of anyone who is a criminal mind. The rapist can go and rape infidels. The plunderer can go and plunder infidels. Because they are infidels. Because they are beasts in the sight of Allah. They are not human beings. They are beasts. The Quran says that. I don't say it. Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 55. For the worst of beasts in the sight of Allah are those who reject Him they will not believe. لا يؤمنون. The Quran is full of this. Why do I say chapters 2 to chapters 9? Al-Imran chapter 3.85. If anyone desires a religion other than Islam, submission to Allah, never will it be accepted of him. Al-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 33, you see, it's within the numbers. It is he, Allah, who has sent his apostle Muhammad with guidance and the religion of truth, Islam, to proclaim it over all other religions. These verses remind me of Hitler's Mein Kampf, the Nazi master race creed. The worst of all of these things is that dhimmis are people who are subject to Islam, non-Muslims. In Egypt, the Copts, who are actually Christian, of course, and who are actually the descendants, the literal descendants of the pharaohs, are treated as dhimmis. Dhimmis are subservient to Islam. Dhimmis have very few rights under Islam. In fact, they have no rights under Islam, to tell you the truth. None. Under Islam, a Christian cannot build a church without permission. Cannot even repair a church without permission. Under Islam, a Christian cannot ring the bell. They cannot make demonstrations in the street. There are so many rules and regulations against Christians, Jews and Hindus and Buddhists and everybody else who's not a Muslim, that it forces the people to turn to Islam. It forces them. And this is the whole idea. The idea is numbers, not quality. There is no quality in Islam. There is zero quality in Islam. I explain it to you. Muslims are 1.5 billion. 20% of humanity. They are the least productive, least inventive, least creative in human history. Sounds difficult to absorb. Again, I say to you, listen, prove me wrong. We, non-Muslims, whom I call Ummat al-Kuffar. Non-Muslims are called Ummat al-Kuffar, I call them. Ummat al-Kuffar means the nation of infidels. We, non-Muslims, are the most productive, most inventive, most creative, and most powerful in human history. And yet our leaders are running like a chicken without a head, facing Islam. Can I explain it? I can't explain it. Sorry, I can't. Because I cannot explain irrationality. I can't. Nobody can. I give you a solid example, which I use regularly. Jews are 0.2% of humanity. 15 million. 15 million. Muslims are 1,500 million. Jews have gathered over 20% of all Nobel Prize winners. Muslims, 20% of humanity, have got 0.2% of Nobel Prize winners. Can anybody explain that? Of course there is an explanation, but I want somebody to explain it to me. Another example. 57 Muslim majority states, 1,500 million people, does not have a single certified accredited university. Not one. Israel with 8 million has 4 accredited universities. And I'm talking about accredited by the West. How can anybody explain? The answer is against it. The Quran. The Quran prohibits the Muslims from investigation, from contradiction. It tells the Muslim, never question the Quran. It tells the Muslim, ilm. Ilm in Arabic means knowledge. And every imam will tell you, the Islam, the Quran says, knowledge is important. Bull crap. When you study the Quran, you will understand that ilm or knowledge has to do only with knowledge of Muhammad, his Quran and his Sunnah, and nothing else with the Sharia. Nothing to do with science and technology, with art. And to prove my point, another $200,000 says no human being can name 10 Muslims, not Arabs, 10 Muslims who have contributed anything to the advancement and betterment of humanity in any field of human endeavor in the last 600 years. That's about 2,000 million Muslims in the last 600 years. $200,000, name 10 of them. Cannot be done. Name 5 of them in the last 1,400 years in Arabia, in the Arabian Peninsula. 5. In the last 1,400 years. Another $200,000. Cannot be done. Back to you, sir.
Wow, IQ, you really said a whole lot there. And it's all right on the money. Kind of dovetailing off what we talked about with the Vatican, I've noticed a disturbing trend, and I know you've covered the Muslim ideology, what they want to accomplish, and how much of an enemy they are to all other religions on the face of the earth. But I want to talk about this. You know, we see the EU, European Union politicians and leaders of the different states inside of the EU continue to proclaim that they're going to bring in as many Muslim refugees as possible. We've seen cases in Sweden where one Muslim refugee with 3 different wives and 16 children was the 3 different apartments were purchased for him by the government of Sweden, totaling $1.7 million, while one of the residents had an elderly, ill Swedish man who was kicked out on the street for the purpose of housing this refugee with 3 wives and 16 children.
Insanity.
In 3 separate residences. And this is a trend that is ongoing in many countries, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, and much, much more. I don't have the list in front of me. But one thing we're seeing in Paris and Brussels and in other big cities are these Muslim refugee camps, these tent cities that are set up all across the different parts of European cities, and also these Sharia patrols. And this goes to what you were talking about. We have Muslims going around in Western European cities and terrorizing people of those cities for drinking alcohol, listening to music, smoking cigarettes, even though they're not Muslim. And no-go zones that police even refuse to go into because of the Muslim presence there. Do you expect this to continue to get worse? And at some point, will we see, these Muslims band together and try to take over a city? We see a lot of lone wolf attacks and small terror cells creating havoc all across different cities in Europe and some in the U.S. But at some point, are we going to see a unified Muslim attack on a nation state in Europe?
Yes, but you use the word which is wrong, expression. There is no such thing as a lone wolf. There is no such thing as a lone wolf Muslim. Every Muslim is a potential ISIS. Every Muslim is a potential mass murderer. But I mean, wait, I explained that. You've got to, you see, again, it's very difficult to absorb it. Every single Muslim is the enemy of every single human being who's not a Muslim. That's it. So they are not these are not lone wolves. They are Muslims. They are reading the Quran and they're following the instruction. This is why I said ISIS is not a unity. It's not a brain, a massive brain which controls everything. No. Every Muslim on planet Earth is a member of ISIS, either as a jihadi Muslim or a stealth jihadi Muslim. But a member of ISIS. They read the same book. They follow the same human being called Muhammad bin Abdullah, who was a mass murderer, a serial rapist. Sorry, a predator upon women and a rapist, a serial rapist. Plus being the head of the first organized crime syndicate in human history. No, there are no lone wolves. They don't exist. Only in the warped mind of the news media. again, I was hoping 3 years ago there will be a revolution in Europe, a revolution by the people. I'm still hoping that there will be a revolution. And the revolution is going to be a bloodbath, by the way. It's going to be a bloodbath. The European natives against the Muslims. Why? Because the Muslims are terrorizing them. In many European countries, the National Health Service spends 40% of its income on Muslims because they carry diseases. And Muslims intermarry within the family, so the generations, among the generations of their children, they have a lot of children who are not well formed mentally or physically. These are facts, ladies and gentlemen. Indisputable facts.
Simply put, IQ, it's amazing to hear, and I know I've known this, you've said this before, but it's to hear this again. I think everyone needs to let other people know about this, about your appearance tonight. Spread the word. IQ, you've been such a valuable informational asset to this program tonight. I cannot thank you enough. The response we're getting from your appearance tonight is just overwhelming, and we thank you for that. We're about 45 seconds here left. We only have about 45 seconds left with you.
I would like to thank you for having me, and I would like to thank your audience for being a supporter of mine.
Well, all the time, any day, and I'll tell you, IQ, we have so much respect for you, and thank you so much for your appearance tonight. May God bless you. May God keep you safe. And until next time, thank you. We're out of
thank
time,
you.
Brother.
Thank
All right.
you, sir.
Yeah. Bye-bye. That was IQ El-Razouli. What a brave man. And we only have a few minutes left here because of the skipping the break earlier. And there might be a... Well, anyway, the remaining few moments we have left of our program. If I could just say one thing, you heard from IQ El-Razouli. We got the straight scoop on what's taking place with Islam. I can guarantee you. Trust me when I tell you this. You've got no idea the receiving end from Right Wing Watch, places like that.
Jihad Watch. The Right Wing Watch is the organization that points out the terrorist on the right.
Trust me when I tell you, tomorrow's inbox is going to get blown out of the water in this office. But here's the thing: we got to make a stand, and we have to call this insanity for what it is. And I applaud Mr. IQ El-Razouli for doing that. And visit his website; it's going to be linked in the program description. All you have to do is click the link and study the material that's on his website. And I want to thank Brent Bileski for arranging that interview, and thank IQ for spending the time when he should be sleeping talking to us. And one last thing I want to say, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Joe, is this. You heard Coach Dave Dobmeier. You saw Coach Dave Dobmeier. If you didn't see it, the visual impact of that segment, if you're listening to this on Global Star Radio Network or BTR, hop on over to YouTube, our YouTube channel. And by the way, subscribe while you're there. But take a look at what Coach Dave Dobmeier, CoachDaveLive.com, what he's doing for the relief relief of the flood victims in Texas. You know, that's one thing I never understood. And I told my neighbor this, Jack, who a good friend of mine. He goes to the Dominican every January with his church for missionary work. And I ask him, why? We have people here. I mean, I understand they need help, but why aren't we doing more here? Why aren't the churches in America doing more for the people in America who need the help? And why aren't the churches going down en masse, the Christian men and women like Coach Dave? Why aren't they going down en masse? So my closing comment to you is this. We intend and we are and we will continue to support Coach Dave Live, his efforts. And I would urge anyone who is looking for something to do, please volunteer your time, contribute to the cause. You can make a lot of difference in many people's lives by just doing a few simple things. CoachDaveLive.com is the absolute. He's doing the work of 10 people, and his group is doing the work of FEMA and Red Cross combined, or Red Plus combined. And I'm so proud to know that man, and I'm so proud to call him a Christian brother. And I just hope that everyone supports Coach Dave Live, Coach Dave, his wife, his crew. And whatever we can do, we intend to do that. Joe, I'm going to leave you with the closing comments. I just want to say goodnight, everyone.
Yeah, and it was a great show. Jackie of the Hagman team joined us in the first segment, Coach Dave in segment two, and that was awesome. Very heartfelt. All the fantastic work they're doing, the money they've been able to raise, the volunteers from different parts of the country who selflessly went there to help those people. And as I said in the beginning of the show, on Monday, there is an article from Hagman Report linked to from the Washington Times that was just a great article talking about the impact Christians have, that they, Christians, have mobilized and have done more for hurricane relief victims than FEMA. And probably, I would say, you know, organizations like the Red Cross and others combined. And that says a whole lot. And that's, you know, putting your faith into action. And there's nothing more special than being able to minister and to especially help those in need when they lost everything. I mean, just imagine that. If you were in that situation that you lost everything and you have all these promises from organizations to help rebuild and supply money and supplies, never for it to be seen, but then you have a group of Christians who have banded together and have had a huge impact, more so than the government can even keep up with. And that is true Christianity, and that is what has made America great for so long, is that spirit of Americanism and the people coming together in times of disaster and distress to work together towards the goal of making our communities better. And again, it does not get much better than that. Again, fantastic show. Close it out strong with IQ Al Rizzulli, and we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, for listening, for supporting the show through prayers, through donations. We are a listener-supported organization, and if you go to HagmanReport.com and you're led to do so, click the donate button and send us a donation. If you can't do that, spread the word about the show. Say a prayer for us. Anything can help. Your support is what keeps us alive, so we can't thank you enough for that. Until tomorrow, stay safe, God bless, and have a great evening. Join the Doug Hagman Show from 9 to 10 and the Hagman Daily Show from 2 to 3 tomorrow. Make sure you do that. Spread the word about those shows, as we hope to make just as big an impact there as we do here. That'll do it for us tonight. Have a great one.